Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. The big push continues. What's cracking? This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. When I talk about the big push is I was in Kansas City over the weekend. I was in San Diego yesterday. I am back up north today. I'm in Dallas tomorrow night. I'm in Miami next week. It is awesome. Great start to 2020. Nice to have you here. All right, lots of show for you today. Let's get this thing going. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Finally, Zion Day. I'll break that down in just one moment. In the meantime, you should use the phone. Get on it. Hit me up. I'd love to hear from you. Also, follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. I've got Kyle Lowry, Raptors guard, 2019 NBA Finals champ, joining me next segment. Top of hour number two. More NBA with Ben Golver, Washington Post, national NBA writer. In fact, we will go all NBA today with the interviews. In hour number three, Orlando Magic center, Nikola Vucevic. So Kyle Lowry, Ben Golver, Nikola Vucevic. Episode 113 of the Jim Rome podcast is up right now. Jorge Masvidal crushed it. He was amazing. And I've got thoughts on that too. Once again, hit me up. We're back in our studio. Adam Hawk, fresh off the Tiger Woods fanboy experience, back in the studio, screening out your telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Let's not waste any more time. After months of waiting and all the anticipation, Zion Day finally did arrive yesterday, and it was amazing. Now, not the first three quarters of it, mind you. They were actually pretty measured, pretty careful, pretty cautious. I mean, pretty much what you'd expect for a player who was making his NBA regular season debut after knee surgery and had not played in a meaningful game since March. But still, even in the early going, there were some moments, there were some glimpses, like this pass to Brandon Ingram.
Here's Williamson facing the double team. Hits the open man, it's Ingram at the slam.
That said, the star of the first half was not Zion. It was this Pelicans fan who was doing absolutely incredible work when the Spurs went to the foul line. Check this guy yodeling for LaMarcus Aldridge.
He's two for two tonight.
Whoever did the tattoos on Lonzo.
LaMarcus! LaMarcus! Never mind Zion Day. That guy, whoever that guy is, deserves a day. You want to talk about a star being born? That was an incredible moment. The guy immediately put himself in the category of previous crowd mic legends, like the we did it guy.
We did it! We did it!
Right in there with the Kevin!
Now it's still with that shoulder problem that he's had.
But he's screening better. See the full body contact, which makes Garnett shift, which gives him the chance to roll hard and get possession. He wasn't doing that in many of the previous games we've had. He's been slipping out early, which doesn't put the defense.
Steve Nash.
That dude's the GOAT. That dude is the GOAT. Kevin!
Which doesn't position. He wasn't.
But aside from the legendary moment, that moment, most of the first three quarters were filled with people crying and complaining about Zion and his minutes, to which I would say, the hell did you expect? Of course there were going to be short bursts. We knew this going in. Alvin Gentry said as much in the lead up to that game. Did you really think this guy was going to go out without playing in a meaningful game for nearly 10 months and immediately get 40 minutes and go 20-20? Hell no. This guy missed half the season. You don't just run him out, shove him off the high dive in his first game, even if that's what the fans, Twitter, and television would have wanted. And for all the dopes who were complaining that he wasn't playing long enough or acting like the Pelicans didn't give this guy enough minutes or that he'd get into more of a rhythm if they'd only let him. Pipe down. The Pelicans have a plan. They're working their plan. It's the right plan. They know last night was never going to be about last night. It was going to be about the rest of the season. It was going to be about the rest of his career. It's about a recovery plan and sticking to that plan, no matter how much it pisses everybody off. And as always, if Alvin Gentry listens to the people in the stands, he will be one of the people in the stands in no time at all. But still, the whining, the complaining, it continued. First it was annoying, then it became insulting, and then in the end, it was straight stupid. It got stupid when people were saying things like, see, Zion is overrated. Zion is overhyped. Zion is just not that good. Yeah, well done. Solid take, especially since it was a take based on a 19-year-old getting maybe 12 minutes of NBA action. But then, the fourth quarter happened. Specifically, the middle of the fourth quarter happened. And it started with an assist from Zion to Josh Hart.
10. Zion took it away from Jakob Poeltl. You got space. He sees Etwan Moore, and he'll collaborate with Etwan on the bucket. Six-point game. And again, timeout San Antonio. Zion with a bullet pass.
So it was Hart, the dime to Hart, then that. Rebound, push the ball up the court, find a teammate for the bucket. But go back to the rebound itself for a moment, because that was a 7'1" guy that he grabbed that rebound over. A 7'1" grown-ass man with better position. And the teenager just bodied him, out-jumped him, got the rebound, started the break. And then that started the run, because those two assists were followed by this, Zion for three.
It's Alonzo, ball back to Zion. Oh, my heaven, straight away three.
Absolutely good. Huh? Everybody up.
Like, if there is an oh, my heavens and a huh after 1-3, you can imagine what was about to happen. Then Zion on an alley-oop.
Nobody expected that.
Nope.
Alley-oop Zion! Laying it good! From up top, Lonzo Ball. I think he's feeling it now, Daniel.
And here we go.
All right, so we were expecting that. But if Zion rattled in 1-3, how do you think it looked and felt when he did it again?
They have made big shot after big shot all night long. Now Zion again, straightaway three. Good again!
Just like they drew it up.
Uh-oh! The bleep is that. Zion knocking in two threes. Zion bodying another grown man in the paint.
Now Zion in the lane. Backing in Poeltl. Missed the layup, got it back. Stick back. Rattles in! There is nobody in this building that is sitting down. Nobody!
There's nobody in this country sitting down. During that run, Alvin Gentry had a sub ready to go on for Zion, but the game wouldn't stop. And the moment wouldn't stop. Zion for three again.
Ball, no look feed to Zion. Now he's got it. Right wing three again. Got it again! You have got to be kidding me!
They don't want to guard him out there.
That's a heat check!
That was a heat check. At that point, the roof was about to come right off the top of that building. It was incredible. Three for three from three. Are you kidding me? Then Alvin appeared to be calling for a timeout to get his guy out of the game. Lonzo Ball was not having any of that. Ball ran right through that stop sign to set up the big fella for this.
Up top Lonzo, back to Zion. Oh my, step back three. Left wing! Slash! No! This is not happening!
Stop it! No, seriously, Zion, stop it! That was incredible. 4 for 4 from three for a guy who is not known as a three-point shooter. 17 points in just over 3 minutes in an NBA game. No, correction, in his NBA debut. Took the Pelicans from down double digits to giving them the lead before he left that game. He finished with 22 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists in 18 minutes. Is that any good? you still want to come in here with your great takes about how overrated this guy is, about how overhyped this guy is. Look, I'm not saying that he's a Hall of Famer after one game, but he gave you a glimpse of what he could be, and that look was awesome. That was an electric moment. It didn't even have an electric dunk in it. Drew Holiday said he was hyped watching that shooting display from deep.
I mean, after the first one, I was like, all right, cool. And then the second one came, the second three, and I was like, all right, boy, you've been practicing. And then the third one, and from that point on, man, just the energy was crazy. But we've seen him do this since high school. This is what he does. So as exciting as it was, is it really that much of a surprise?
That's a great point. That's a great point by Holiday. Nobody should be surprised by this because we have seen this from him for a while now. But at the same time, a guy making his NBA debut in January after knee surgery should not make it look that easy. Except Zion did, and he's barely scratching the surface. Again, don't get it twisted. There are going to be rough nights. I know this. And times where he looks like a rookie. But I'm not interested in hearing from people talking about 5 turnovers last night or the fact that they lost that game. Nor am I looking for people to blame the head coach for taking him out of the game in the fourth quarter and refusing to put him back in when the crowd was chanting his name. You know, you can't always give the people what they want. I know it felt like they could have won that game last night if he stayed in that game. But the Pelicans do have a plan. The plan is about working Zion into game shape, being cautious, not taking any unnecessary risks with their franchise player. You're not going to risk this guy's future so they can win his very first game. It's the right plan, a good plan. I respect it. We got a taste of the Zion experience last night, and it was incredible. It was worth the wait. He didn't just live up to the hype, he smashed it. And in a league of freakish talent, there may not be another like him. He might be one of one. Because for the life of me, I still can't wrap my head around the fact that he hit 4 threes in his first NBA game when this is not a guy who's known for shooting threes. It was incredible. But then again, understand, we have never seen anybody quite like this. Yes, it will take time to see exactly where this 6'6", 285-pound dude with a 6'10" wingspan and a 45-inch vert and eye-popping athleticism fits in while he learns the NBA game. Is he a 4? Is he a small ball 5? Is he a .5? My eyes tell me yes. Yes to everything. He's 19, a special, special dude, and this is going to be an amazing process to watch. Quit hating, start celebrating Zion.
You have got to be kidding me!
Hey, Rome. The hell with Zion? That announcer is the story.
This is not happening!
Like his NBA Finals Game 7. Heat check! Are you kidding me?
Got it again!
This is not happening!
Oh my heaven, straight away 3.
Like he was so shocked, like, oh my heaven, straight away 3. Yo, big dog, what are you doing? Making it! 4. All right, so in addition to Zion, I do want to talk about Eli Manning, who retired, no surprise there, and the subsequent conversation about Eli Manning, no surprise there either. I will hit that. I mentioned I had a sit-down or a call-in from Jorge Masvidal, which was incredible. I want to hit that for you, too. LA City Council, that came up as a topic yesterday when I went on our San Diego affiliate with the guys, Ben and Woods. I want to kind of stretch that out for this show, too. And more. Kyle Lowry, when we come back, don't go anywhere. So how often do you think about your socks? If you're like I used to be, probably not very often. But then I discovered socks that changed the way I will think about socks forever. They're called Bombas. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. They're made from premium cotton. Bombas stay warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and every single pair comes with a built-in blister tab, innovative arch support, stay-up technology, and a seamless toe. And with so many colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas look great everywhere, in the gym, at the office, and out on the town. Get right down to it. Bombas are what feet daydream about. And for every single purchase you make, Bombas will donate a pair to somebody in need. So keep cool, keep comfortable, and keep contributing. With the best socks in the history of feet, Bombas. Get your Bombas at bombas.com BOMBAS.com/JimRome. Get 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/JimRome. 20% off your first purchase. Again, BOMBAS.com/JimRome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you on this Thursday. Truth is, whenever anybody says yes to come on the program, I appreciate that. I'm pumped for that. I appreciate their time. But I'm especially pumped for this. We are joined right now by a point guard for the Toronto Raptors. He is an NBA champion. He is a 5-time All-Star. He is an Olympic gold medalist. 16 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds in last night's win over Philadelphia. He's averaging 20 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds for the season. He was the 24th pick overall in 2006 out of Villanova. Toronto is in first in the Atlantic. They're at New York tomorrow night. Kyle Lowry is my guest. Kyle, I really do appreciate it. Great to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim, how you doing, buddy? It's always good to be in the show.
You
how are
too.
You?
Great. I'm great. Kyle, really good to hear your voice. So you beat Philadelphia last night in a game where you had 6 guys go for 16 or more. Let me start there. How pleased were you with the win, and what's it say about the depth of the team that you had that many guys play that big last night?
You know, it was a good win for us. You know, at one point I looked up, I think all of us had like between 15 and 16 points, the guys that were on the floor. But that just shows the depth that we have in our team and, you know, kind of the unselfishness of our team. You know, we don't care who – if there's one guy that gets 40 and 30, you know, we try to, you know, make sure everyone's confident, everyone's confident in the situations that they're in. And, you know, during the playoffs, you know, we're going to need everyone to step up. So it just gives us some time to, or gives us some, you know, look at what guys can do and throughout the season to get some confidence and ready to go for the long haul.
Kyle Lowry, my guest. Look, it's never going to be easy. You know this, but the team has already dealt with injuries and changes to the roster since last season, but you're still in first place in the division. It seems like folks outside your locker room expected you guys to take a step back after winning it all, but that's not what happened. What was the mindset of the team this season coming in?
I mean, we've always been good. You know, honestly, we were always good. The years before, we always made the playoffs, made a good run. I don't know why people counted us out, but they did, and that's their personal opinions. For us, all we did was just go out here and work. You know, we got the same, you know, same type of professional athletes that we have. We have real life pros that want to win, that have won at a high level. And, you know, we got guys that just know how to play the game of basketball. And we understand that, you know, it's never going to be easy. But, you know, if you play like a unit in a team, you know, anything can happen.
Kyle, I want to go back to a game about a month ago against the Mavericks where you guys were down 30. I mean, I'm still blown away by this game. You were down 30 with less than 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Normally a team might say at that point, man, it's not our day. It's a long, long season. We live to fight another day. Let's shut it down and keep moving. But that's not what you guys did. You start to play lockdown defense. You had 20 in the fourth quarter. You come all the way back. You win that game. Why is it that you guys didn't give into that moment? And what's it say about the mental and physical toughness and the pride of this team?
Well, I think we just, you know, coaches like, look, let's make a big run. Let's see if we can make a run. Let's go out here and play hard. We do a kind of a press on, and we just kind of play hard. And that's what our team does. You know, at the end of the day, you don't play, you know, until the third quarter. You play 4 quarters. You play 48 minutes. You play until that last horn goes off. And that's what we did. And that's the mental approach that we have, right? We have the mental approach that the game's never over. We're always going to have an opportunity to win games. We're always going to have an opportunity to be in a game and compete. And, you know, at the end of the day, the physicality that we had length, we had guys coming off the bench, and we were down a bunch of men, but, you know, we found a way to win the game. And that just shows, you know, the team that we put together and the pros and the guys that we have on our team play hard.
He's a world champion. He's a gold medalist, Kyle Lowry, back in the jungle. Look, I understand that you're focused on this season and the potential this team has, but if you were to go back to June for a moment, like, what did it feel like when you first won that NBA championship? And then when it all sunk in, how did it feel to know that you are an NBA champ and nobody can ever take that from you?
You know, I think it's a feeling that you can't explain, right? It's nothing that you could possibly say, oh, it felt like this, it felt like that. It's an unimaginable high. And, you know, that's what it feels like. It's just a feeling that you just can't, like, you know, you can't replace that feeling with nothing else but winning another championship. And, you know, the point, like you said, the thing about winning a champion, being a champion, is it never can be taken away from you. And, you know, knowing that we got one of the biggest rings ever made, we go back and look at that and say, yeah, we got that.
No doubt. You know, Kyle, if they could bottle what you have, like, I want you to talk about this for a minute. You battled through a lot during that postseason run, including a torn ligament in your thumb. In terms of bottling that, like, how were you able to deal with everything and still show up and deliver on the biggest stage every single time?
Well, I mean, you got to go out there and do your job. And for me, you know, we were, you know, we kind of honestly, we were, you know, shooting it up every game, numb the ligament so I can go play. But I was just going out there and knowing that the toughness is needed. And this is a chance to be something, to do something special and to do something, you know, you never know if you're going to do it again. You never know you're going to do it again. So you go out there and just give it your all. And honestly, that's what I did. And that's why it was so fun. If we just gave it our all. And I was, you know, whatever it took, you know, lidocaine in the thumb and make sure it's numb and whatever it takes to get a championship, it was worth it.
Kyle Lowry joining me for a few more moments. And then you took that Larry O trophy back to North Philly to the Cecil B. Moore Recreational Center and the Hank Gathers Youth Access Center. I know that was something that you had in mind from the moment you won. Why was it so important for you to bring that trophy back home? And then what was that part of the experience like?
You know what? It was like literally as soon as I won a championship, I was like, you know, I have to take this home. And it was just more like, you know, to show the kids in the community that you can, anything's possible. A guy from your neighborhood, a kid that was in your situation, growing up how you grew up, and you grew up the same way I grew up, is anything can happen. And just try to work hard. Just continue to work hard. And you never know what's going to happen. You never know what situation you're going to be in. You never know how the situation is going to turn out. You know, that's the thing. That's why I took it back home, and it was most important to take it right back home.
And then Villanova announced last week that your jersey is going to be retired next month. What was your reaction when you heard that, and what does that honor mean to you? How's that sound?
Oh, man, I can't wait, honestly, to be able to go up in the Raptors at that great school, a place that I still call home. You know, I'm there every day. That's where I train at. To be able to say that I'll be up there forever, it's a lifetime dream and something that, honestly, I never imagined would happen, and it's happening, so I'm really happy with it, and I'm excited. I can't wait.
Hey, Cal, a couple of quick things. I think right now you have an amazing coach. I love the guy you play for, and I love the guy you used to play for. I had Jay Wright on the show earlier this year, and he talked about how proud he was of you as he watched you win that ring last season and what you mean to him and the program. How would you describe Jay Wright as a coach and the relationship you have with him?
Well, I mean, me and Coach talk. He literally would text me after every single game. I think Jay is one of the best coaches in college basketball. I think he's one of the best men in college basketball. I think he's one of the best mentors and teachers in college basketball. He means the world to me. You know, he gave a kid from North Philly a chance. He pushed me to be better. He pushed me to say, listen, you need to do this. This is how we're going to do this. But it was nothing about basketball. Legit, we talked never about basketball. We talked about how to be a man, how to be, you know, an adult, how to take things and be a legit person and say, listen, I messed up. How do I fix it? Or what do I do to kind of move on? And Jay has been important to me, and he still is important to me. And, you know, he's one of my biggest fans, and I'd do anything for that guy.
I appreciate that. Last thought, Kyle. So Cleveland's Tristan Thompson called you, quote, a Hall of Famer. He said he's a five-time All-Star. He's an Olympic gold medalist. He's an NBA champ. He's their backbone. I mean, in short, you've accomplished pretty much everything there is to accomplish at this level, and yet you seem hungrier now than ever before. So what motivates you and what drives you now?
First of all, Tristan, that is a great compliment. I mean, for a guy that's a champion and a guy that, you know, I battled against, that's a compliment, you know, for your peers to think like that. And, you know, I appreciate that. Seriously, I miss it. And I'm always going to be hungry. I'm never going to be satisfied for who I am. I'm always going to try to continue to grow and get better. And that's the biggest thing is where I come from. You don't make it by just saying, oh, okay, I got this. You make it by going harder and harder.
Kyle Lowry, Toronto Raptors point guard, NBA champion, five-time All-Star, Olympic gold medalist. My man, it had been a moment or two. It is so good to have you back on the show. I really appreciate that, Kyle. Thank you so much.
James, you know, thank you. Anytime, man. Anytime.
Be good. Take care. Kyle Lowry, man, if you need him, and we all do, that's the legend we all need. As you can tell, I have immense respect for him. So glad he did that. Toronto Raptors are a great jungle team, too. So, NBA champ, five-time All-Star, Olympic gold medalist, and he is not slowing down at all. He is having another big year there in first. They have not taken a step back. 1-800-636-8686. I'm pumped for that. So glad we got that done. All right, in the meantime, the way it sets up the rest of the way, I've got Ben Golver coming up at the top of the hour. In hour number three, we are talking Orlando Magic basketball. Nikola Vucevic joins me then. We already talked about Zion. Jorge Masvidal is getting a lot of love on social and on email from the podcast that we did. Can't wait to get into that. I want to talk about Eli Manning and the fact that he is going to retire and the subsequent conversation that happened right after that. LA City Council in the news for all the wrong reasons. And we got to talk about a mascot, not just any mascot, Gritty. Did Gritty assault a teenager? The teenager's old man says yes, he did. There is no video. His word against their word. We'll get to all of that. Tiger Woods teeing it up at 9:40 our time. So in less than 10 minutes at the Farmers Insurance Open, where I was yesterday. Dear Jim, because I am a professional sports figure, people are fascinated that I am wanted for a crime and on the run from the law. The authorities are unfairly targeting me because of my athletic skills, good looks, and a bank account that none of them can match. Business is booming, Jimmy. Famous and giftedly yours, Gritty, the Philadelphia Flyers mascot, wore 50 caliber t-shirt cannons that launched their payload at 9,000 feet per second. Signed Denlesk's Statue of Liberty sign twirler for a local tax preparation company. Dude, do you ever stop? Just stop. Denlesk's, just stop. I know you can't, but just stop. All right, we are coming right back. Off to a great start. Once again, I am back in my SoCal studio for the time being. Adam Hawk is back from fanboying Tiger Woods for the time being. I will be in Dallas after the show tomorrow night. I will be back here on Monday. We will be in Miami on Wednesday. The big push. And it feels awesome. Right now, I've got a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You probably know this, but this weekend, CBS's coverage of the PGA Tour season begins with a fantastic field, including Tiger, Rory, and Phil. They will be at Torrey Pines to compete at the Farmers Insurance Open. We were there yesterday. It's amazing. The track looks great. It's a beautiful place. Great field. Coverage getting underway at 3 Eastern and 12 Pacific on Saturday and Sunday. The PGA Tour is on CBS. I was there yesterday. We go there every single year. That's one of my favorite shows of the entire year. But nobody liked it more than the fanboy himself, Adam Hawk. Dude, seriously. I mean, like, I know Tiger Woods is your guy, Hawk. I have never seen anybody, not just you, but anybody act like that in public. That was truly embarrassing, brah. I'd love to cut you some slack, but you're lucky you still have a job after that. Dear Jim, those NBA announcers at Pelicans games got nothing on my play-by-play skills. Regards, Alvy.
95-95, 3 seconds left. Cleveland inbounds the ball. Top of the circle, LeBron gets the ball. 2 seconds, 1 second, LeBron for the win. Ah! Oh, dude, yes, yes. LeBron James. We stay LeBron.
I still can't believe that. Not that you just nailed that call. Like, that's some Chick Hearn stuff right there. Not that, but that you had that side hustle going on and I didn't know about it. Like, Alvin's running around the country doing LeBron James games and I don't know about it. And he's showing up on time every single day doing his job here. Busted. This email reads, Rome, we both know how LA can be in the afternoons, but for a little over 35 minutes, the conversation you had with Jorge Mas made my commute home a completely enjoyable experience. That dude is definitely one of a kind. A perfect guest for your podcast. I can't wait to see what he's got in store for us this year. I don't play favorites. That's one of my favorite podcasts ever. Jorge Masvidal. It's live. Don't listen to it right now. Finish out this show. Use it for your commute. Take it with you to the gym. Take it on vacation. Do what you want with it. Just don't do it during show hours, but make sure you get to it. It's amazing. Amazing. I love this whole thing about, yeah, man, I don't know. MMA, yeah, I don't know if that's ever going to work. UFC, I don't know about that. Have you seen the ratings for UFC 246? I mean, through the roof. Not only does it outrate itself, it outrates like everything. And if you listen to my conversation with Jorge Masvidal, you'll get a sense of why that is. It's a different breed of athlete, a different breed of cat. That is an amazing conversation. And I can't wait for you to hear that. I'll give you a preview. Dear boss, what a great day yesterday at Torrey Pines. Watching my idol Tiger Woods hit range balls. And under the backdrop of all that ambient noise, or as I call it, my Radiohead playlist on Spotify. Signed, Adam Hawk. Brian and Charlotte. Oh, wow. How about this? War Rome pointing Gigetta to the Santa Anita Oaks? Wow, dude. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. She's a little jungle racing homebred. The broker maiden. Takes me back to, wow, it's kind of wild that we're actually having a brief horse racing conversation on the program. It takes me back to when Shared Belief was the Eclipse Award winner as a two-year-old. The Eclipse Awards go to the best horses in any given category. And as soon as Shared Belief won that grade one and won the Eclipse Award as a two-year-old, remember, the Kentucky Derby is only for three-year-olds. You can only run that race once as a three-year-old. My race manager and bloodstock agent, Alex Solis, said to me, quote, Jim, you're going to read a lot of things. You're going to hear a lot of things. You've got the hot horse right now. Whatever you do, do not get Derby fever. Do not get Derby fever. It's a long way from now. It's 5 months. I said, Alex, bro, what do I look like, man? Some rookie? I've won two Breeders' Cup races. I got this. Well, I got Breeder or Derby fever, like 108 degrees. I damn near died with it. So, Brian, do not get Santa Anita Oaks fever. Let's hope she comes out. Richie Baltus, though, told me that she cooled out, she ate up, and she's going to have a nice, easy week. That's all we can hope for. That's all we can ask for. But, Brian, thank you very much for the support. You, or I should say Gigetta and Jungle Racing, appreciates it. Let's check the phones right quick. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Wichita. Mike. Good to have you, Mike. How are you?
Doing great, Jimmy Jam. Hey, I just called. I heard that tour stops are possibly making a comeback and that they're expected to change with the times. Good luck with that. One thing I know for sure, though, is a 2020 tour stop will be a freak show. There's only one place to have it, Jimmy, and that's KC. Tour Stop KC was the last great tour stop, and that was 18 years ago. And if you know clones the way I do, clones love nothing more than something that just turned 18. Think about the family reunion. Ray and KC's son is now some 20-something-year-old bigot ranting about Modern Family. Patty and Modesto will show up with a kid that looks suspiciously like Willie. Either way, Jim, I'll be there with a belly full of edibles, giggling my ass off at the kooks and the carnival. Please make this happen. Hey, Denver, stay in your lane. It was impossible for your tour stop to live up to the monster that was KC. You have the most amazing skylines in the world, but you also have the most repulsive-smelling citizens I've ever encountered. Props to Clark Hunt, who brought in Andy Reid after he was given the boot from Philadelphia. There is not a Chiefs fan alive who doesn't think this guy's the greatest coach in Chiefs history. War, my amazing delay, and Finn feeling better. War, Planet of the Apes on VHS for huge call of the day. War, the Chiefs finally doing something I never thought I'd live long enough to see. Al?
Rackham, nice job, Mike. Nice job. Mike in Wichita saying, bring it back. Bring it back and start it in KC. He said that was the last great tour stop. Nah, no, it wasn't. But it was a great tour stop. That was one of my favorite events ever. As I recall, when I hit the stage in Kansas City, way back in the day, it sounded like this.
Unbelievable.
Alvy, what year was that? That's a different life right there. There's your ambient sound, Hawk. That was Kansas City, and I think there was about 14,000 people in that arena. I think. Maybe 12? That's how the tour stops sounded back in the day. So we've been talking about bringing them back, and the way this came to be, there is an agent at William Morris, and his name is C.J. Strzok. C.J. Strzok calls me up and says, hey, listen, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm responsible for putting together our music tours, our concert tours. However, I'm a big sports guy, and I think that if you want to reboot, because I know all about you, and again, I'm working with this agency right now, so I'm starting to get to know people there, and I never met him before. CJ calls me up and says, I'm a big sports fan. I know you. I know your show. I know the history of the program. I know the tour stops. We can do something like that again if you want to reboot it. 2.0. I said, yeah, but it can't be like the way it used to be. The world's changed. He said, oh, no, I get that. I understand that. But let's talk about this. So we have been talking about this. And although we haven't, we're not going to lay this thing out like, all right, 2020, the return of the world tour. I've got 5, I've got 8, I've got 10. We're thinking about doing one. We're thinking about rolling one out, and we're trying to figure out the best time, and we're trying to figure out the best market. In fact, why don't you clones help me out? Tell me why I should come back to your market. Remember back in the day when we did it, there was kind of a small universe of places where we could go because it had to all set up perfectly. The thing was really big at that time, so we had to find markets that had the right venue for it. And then we had to find a market, obviously, where the show was well-embraced. And then we had to find a market where there were good guests. Like, it was kind of a Rubik's Cube thing. So we ended up going to the same places over time, multiple times, because it worked so well there. I think now we have a lot of different options. I don't need to find an arena that's open for 18,000 people. I'm not looking for that anymore. Different time. I'm looking to do a different kind of show. You know, like maybe like an upscale theater, an upscale venue. And I'm not looking to price you out. There would be a price. There would be a price this time. However, that's okay. I will give you value in return. That was in 2002. Crazy. 02, KC. George Brett was there. That was a great day. That was a great show, KC. KC, the only thing you have working against you is I nearly died on national TV only 5 days ago. Now, the good news is, good job, Albie. The good news is any tour stop or reboot thereof would be inside, at least in KC. So, do you want the tour stop? Do you give a damn? Do you care? Do you want me to come back? Make an argument for me because we are in the process of selecting a town, a venue, and a date. In the first quarter, maybe. 1-800-636-8686. He said, there's not a Chiefs fan in this town that doesn't love Andy Reid. I'm going to tell you something else. There's not a coach in the NFL on any level, on either side of the ball, that doesn't love Andy Reid. Andy Reid is so well respected by everybody. That is a damn good football coach. That's the best coach never to win a Super Bowl. I'm going to argue that even if he never gets one, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And if he does get one shortly, he's guaranteed to be in the Hall of Fame. This is a hell of a football coach now. So we will get into that next hour. Also next hour, Ben Golliver, Washington Post, national NBA writer. Got to get his thoughts on Zion. What an amazing scene that was last night. That's coming up next. In hour number 3, Orlando Magic Center, Nikola Vucevic. And I will get to my thoughts on Eli Manning and the news that broke yesterday. All of that is still ahead. Do not go anywhere.